Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, October 28th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, Wendy Wilson, who usually joins us on the first segment of the program today, was unable to join us today, so we will look forward to maybe we can get her on tomorrow, or she'll be returning next week. So you listeners have to listen to Alfred and myself for the first segment, second segment, and third segment today. So, but I want to thank you for joining us today. And as a reminder, this program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And it is because of you that this program continues. And it is because of you, because Discount Gold and Silver Trading continues. And we had wanted to talk about, before I get into the markets, because it's upsetting to me what they did to the markets today, we had wanted to talk about Minnesota and a dealer that was closed due to the changing laws of Minnesota. So we'll try to get to that later on in the program today. But let's get right to the gold and silver markets today. We have gold down $10 at $11.5790 after it hit $11.84 for the high today. Later in trading this afternoon, it just reversed itself. It was up $14 from the get-go this morning. It was up there, and it just gradually lost its presence. And I checked it an hour before the program, and they whacked it, $11.5790. They did the same thing to silver, but silver had a little bit better turnaround, $16.10. We had a high of $16.47 and a low of $15.66. So we're still up 13 at $16.10. Platinum, same thing. I'm not going to go into all the numbers for platinum and palladium, but they had the same sort of a reversal today. Platinum is up $14 at $1,005. Palladium up $3 at $684. So the white metals did a little bit better than gold did today. We'll see what gold does tomorrow. The USDX today up 0.80, 97.73. I mean, that has had a heck of a run this week. Crude oil was up big today, 2.78 at 45.98. And the paper markets today, they were pretty much higher for most of the day. The Dow ended up almost 200 points, 17,779. The NASDAQ was up 65 at 5,095, and the S&P was up 24 at 2,090. The 10-year yield, that popped up 0.06 at 2.09%. A lot of pressure on the euro with what we're seeing in the dollar, down 1.13 at 109. European markets were all strong overnight. Hong Kong was down. Japan didn't do so much, but both London and Germany were up over 1%. So, and again, I believe most of this would have to be because of the statements out of the Federal Reserve today and after their two-day meetings. And that was really, they've really been fairly quiet on their meetings this week. I think with everything that's going on, particularly with the agreement on the budget yesterday, maybe overshadowed the Fed and so forth, and maybe it was part of why the Feds decided to keep rates unchanged, and perhaps looking towards a December rate hike might firmly be in play. So,
well, that's what it says at Reuters. Headline is, Fed puts December firmly on the agenda for rate hike. All right? And this just cracks me up. Now it's, this is firm, Melody. We can count on this.
No, I hear you.
U.S. Federal Reserve kept interest rates unchanged on Wednesday in a direct reference to the next meeting. Put a December rate hike firmly in play. Firmly. Oh. Investors had expected the Fed to maintain pat on rates, but overt reference to December came as a surprise. The Fed also downplayed recent global financial market turmoil and said the slower pace of growth in labor markets hasn't undermined its faith in the ability of the economy to create jobs. And then it goes on. The Fed said in a statement, in determining whether it will be appropriate to raise the target rate at all, raise the target rate at its next meeting, the committee will assess progress both realized and expected toward objectives of maximum employment and 2% inflation. And this is their Fed statement. And what they're really saying is they haven't made any firm commitment to raise the interest rates in December. They're saying in determining whether it will be appropriate, they're going to consider what is the employment rate, and they're going to consider what the inflation rate is in December. And I doubt that there's going to be any dramatic change sufficient to justify an increase in the interest rate. And I talked about this and wrote a little article on it about 3 weeks ago now. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I don't recall. But pointed out that according to Simon Black, the Sovereign Man, he was looking into the finances of the Federal Reserve and observed that there was only 1.3% more assets in the Federal Reserve's bank vault, essentially, than there were liabilities. And most of those assets are bonds, U.S. bonds. And one of the things that happened, if they have, so long as they have more assets than they have liabilities, they're technically solvent. But if their assets were less than their liabilities, they would be technically insolvent and arguably bankrupt. Huh? And the implication is because bonds, U.S. Treasury bonds, make up the majority of the Fed's assets, their alleged assets, I think this is what's really keeping the Fed from raising the interest rates. Now, I can't prove it. This is pure speculation on my part and might not be accurate. But the rule when you're dealing with bonds is when the interest rate goes up, the face value or the purchase price of the bond goes down, which means that if the Fed raises interest rates, the value of the bonds that are in its accounts, in its accounting system right now, in its vault essentially, the value of the bonds are going to go down. And they've only got 1.3% more bonds than they have liabilities. And I suspect, I can't prove it, but I suspect that the Fed is saying, we can't raise interest rates. If we do, we cut our own throats. We will cause the value of our bonds to diminish. And if they fall by more than 1.3%, guess what? We are technically insolvent. Now, I don't expect that the Fed is going to file for bankruptcy or go out of business necessarily, but just the same, I don't think the Fed wants to send the signal to the world that it is insolvent. I think that's bad business. And I think this is why the Fed is really keeping that interest rate as low as it is. It's not about protecting the economy, the American people. It's about protecting the Federal Reserve. So we'll see. Maybe that'll turn out to be true, and maybe it'll turn out to be, just invalid speculation on my part, but I think that's what's going on. And when I wrote the article, said, I don't expect them to raise the interest rates anytime soon. All right, they're going to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. They talked about it for today, and it didn't happen, and they're going to talk about it for December, but I'm going to make you bet it doesn't happen. We'll watch and see. What's next, Melody?
Well, they are between a rock and a hard place, and I think there's multiple reasons why they can't. That's probably a very valid one, and you know, they can. I mean, Wall Street would come on zigzagged, and I mean, it's... You know, they are between. They're going to be darned if they do and darned if they don't.
Yeah.
And this is where they place themselves. So if they talk about it long enough, they're going to have to raise it.
I know.
They just can't, drag everybody along for a long period of time. And
well, they've been
not
doing
do
it for
it.
9 years.
They've been
years.
Doing it. It was always with the Bernanke coming out and say, but we're here for, you know, to intercede anytime the markets need us to be. I mean, there was always the accommodation, and rates were expected to be low, and they knew at some point in time rates would have to be risen. But as long as they were doing the quantitative easing, you know, they weren't going to raise rates, and it's only been, what, a year, 9 months or so? I guess they started talking about really strongly raising rates, what, a year ago for now? I mean, they can't, you know, just keep doing this without doing
something. I think that's part of the
reason
why they approached this meeting with a low profile. You were talking about, I haven't heard much about them in the news. I don't think they want to be in the news. I think they understand that people are saying, hey, what's up with you? You can't even raise it 0.25%. You know, it does not make sense that I'm able to understand that just raising the interest rate by 0.25% is going to collapse the economy. It just doesn't make sense to me. 0.25%, who cares? If the rate goes up on your mortgage by 0.25%, do you lose your home? On your car loan, if it goes up, oh my gosh, the interest rate went up 0.25%, I'm going to have to give them a car back or something. It's not that big a deal.
Well, that's not the part.
But yet they've been maintaining this for 9 years now. Something else is going on here, in my opinion. This isn't just about the economy, and
It isn't the car loans.
It leads to the idea they're trying to protect themselves.
It isn't the car loans, and it isn't the mortgage rates that would be bad. What it is also Wall Street. When we talked yesterday about when you have these corporations who borrow money to buy back their shares, they borrow money at zero rate cost to them to pay their dividends. That hurts them. And it will hurt Wall Street. And just your example, too. There's multinational corporations that, you know, are holding these bonds. And look at all these other bond holders and so forth. So, you know, and the derivatives that are attached to these bonds. I mean, the bond market is so, you know, everybody talks about it is the bond bubble that is what will be so destructive. And so it's...
I think the lesson here is that the whole system is so fragile.
It is.
And far more than probably even we recognize or suspect. If they're not willing to raise interest rates by 0.25% in 9 years, something is wrong. I mean, they're not willing to do this. They're afraid to do this. They have been. I don't know. They may turn out that they raise it by, who knows, they might raise it by 2% in December, but I sure don't expect it. Nobody else does either. They're afraid of a lousy quarter of a percent, and that simply tells me this system is fragile, fragile, fragile. And if that's correct, if that's a correct, you know, conclusion, an inference from drawn from what we see, then it's, if the system is that fragile, then we are in danger. We are in peril right now, whether we know it or not. And it's just one of those things that back and amplifies your need to prepare. If this system is so fragile that they can't even raise interest rates by a quarter of a percent, then it's fragile enough to be badly damaged, impaired, perhaps collapsed by who knows what. Anything. I mean, a quarter of a percent, there must be other forces in the economy that are comparable to a quarter of a percent rise in the prime interest rate. There must be other things that happen in the unemployment rates and the job creation rate, and who knows what all is on there. There are a large number of potential black swans, and if we can judge from this quarter of a percent issue, they don't have to be particularly big swans. In fact, we could probably get by with some black crows. They might be big enough. A black crow coming in on something. You don't need a giant swan. We need maybe just a little black crow. Comes in and says, caw, caw, and all of a sudden, boom, house of cards goes down. That's one of the implications of the problem, or this quarter of a percent problem. Something has the Fed's attention, and it is not something that has been made public. All right? Whatever it is that's motivating them, no, they have not said, well, this is what we're really afraid of. So where are we going? I don't know. Get ready. I mean, that's the implication. It's like riding on the Titanic. Maybe we get through, maybe we don't get through, but we've got water coming in someplace. The captain knows something's going on with this ship that shouldn't be going on, and they're not telling the passengers and most of the crew just yet, but still got a problem. Get your life jacket, get ready, get close to lifeboat. We may have, you know, you may have to do something to save yourself.
And when we see all the other problems, and I mean, it's just truly amazing. I don't know. You're right, Al. I mean, it's like this whole system. It's like, and it's just not the financial markets, but I mean, look at our politics. Look at our, I mean, just everywhere you look in mm-hmm. this country, it's not right. There's big problems. I mean, our social problems are, I mean, I was reading something I was putting together, and I was making a comparison with pornography on the internet, and I was, well, and I'm going to look up some numbers. And when I started reading the numbers that are, when we talk about how people are educating themselves, you know, on the internet and so forth, but then when you look at the pornography numbers in the United States, it's like, hey, they're not educating themselves on what's happening in Washington. They're educating themselves on pornography. The U.S. produces 89% of the world's pornography. I mean,
we're number one. We're
yeah. I mean, the states, 67% of men. And 49% of women say porn is acceptable. I mean, and I'm not bringing this to talk about pornography. I'm just talking about this, we've got major problems.
Yeah.
And it just surprises me that something has not
we're on the edge
something hasn't been been manufactured yet.
We're on the edge of a big problem. Maybe
oh my
we
gosh.
See it, maybe we don't, but there's certainly a possibility we're going to see it. And again, what it tells you, got to get ready. Everybody in the audience should look at this. I mean, this is the kind of evidence you look at it and say, well, you know, it makes sense. We are sitting on the edge of something. And it is so far, as near as I can see, no one has figured out exactly what it is. And even if someone's figured it out, so far as I know, the Federal Reserve has not admitted why They claim, oh my God, they're
coming. That's been figured out.
Raise it. They're not going to raise the interest rate until the interest rate goes until the inflation rate hits 2% or the job creation rate hits something. Oh, come on, come on, come on. You know, it's just nonsense. They're not telling us what the problem is. I don't.
They know what the problem. We know what the problem.
They know what it is. I don't know if I
know. We. They know. We know. I mean, I spent all day reading on various articles and doing comparisons and so forth. It truly does boggle the mind of how they've been able to keep this illusion going. And hey, you know what? Maybe to some degree, I hope they can keep the illusion going longer, because it's not going to be nice. And it's not going to be nice because we're over our time and we're going into breakout.
Is that maybe that'll be the little black crow that topples
maybe.
The whole system? All right, Melody and I are going to say caw caw and take a break for some commercials, and we will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, I thought we'd just talk a little bit about the debate tonight. It's going to be Wall Street's debate. It's being aired by CNBC. They're the ones that will be the moderators. You're going to have CNBC's Carl Quintanilla, Becky Quick, and John Harwood. And so they should be talking mainly about the economy. And we'll see how in depth they go, whether they're going to be talking about the budget or are these going to be just a, the typical debate and Nothing gets said, but the same old thing. So so I guess it comes on at 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's actually coming out of Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, which is kind of interesting. I think Colorado is a little more to the liberal side, especially Boulder. So it's kind of interesting to see it being played from there and not in New York where CNBC is stationed at. So,
Well, the big question is what I suppose the big question is what's going to happen between Trump and
Carson?
I mean, it's surprising. We've seen a poll. Everyone's heard about it. A poll finds Donald Trump. He came out yesterday, I think. Poll finds Donald Trump trailing Ben Carson for the first time nationally. Apparently, you know, the rest of the GOP field trails far behind. They're in single digits. But Trump, 26%, Ben Carson has 26%, and Trump has 22%. This is a CBS News, New York Times national poll. We'll see that go up and down in both sides. There'll be a teeter-totter thing going on here where I doubt that either one of them will command absolute supremacy until they've been through a couple of primaries. And the primaries are going to tell us what's really going on. The polls are interesting, but the primaries are going to give us a much better idea of what's going on and who wins and who loses. So it's going to be interesting tonight, and it's interesting to me just to see how much success Ben Carson has had, because the man, he seems like a good man to me, a decent guy and the rest of that sort of thing, but he doesn't impress me as being presidential. He's kind of avuncular. He would be, you know, maybe your favorite uncle, and he would help you make decisions on which college you should go to when you're old enough to go to college, But I don't see him as a leader. I just don't see the man as a leader. That may be just me, but, you know, an advisor, perhaps, counselor. But I don't see him as a leader.
But it's also true. I mean, just because you're loud doesn't make you a leader either.
Well, sometimes it does.
I don't think
sometimes so. It does. It's a foolishness. It's a foolishness. Yeah. But, I mean, look at Adolf Hitler. That guy was out there shouting, you know.
He was shouting promises, you know, but I mean, there's a lot that Trump shouts that to me doesn't prove leadership either. You know, braggadocio to me is not leadership, you know, but I do like some of the things that Trump does say. When you listen, you know, once he gets beyond his, you know, telling everyone how great he is and he'll be the best president ever, he says some things that, you know, I do agree with. And he is, it makes you listen to see how often what else he's going to say. But you have to listen to a lot of interviews to get to that point. And Carson.
I think Trump, you know, you can ask yourself, what is Trump in this for? I don't think he's in there. He doesn't need the money.
Well, I don't think any of them are appropriate to be president, but go ahead.
Well, what I'm trying to get to is Trump doesn't need the money. What is his motive to become president? He doesn't exactly need the fame. He's been on TV, had his own TV program, published a couple of books and whatever. You could sit back and say this is just a function of ego, and that might be true. You can also sit back and say Trump's got a few kids. He's got grandchildren. I don't know if he has grandchildren yet or not, but he has children. I wonder if he's working on his legacy. And the reason I ask that, is he inclined to say, look, I'm going to try to do what's right for the American people? Because if he is, he might be one of the very few politicians we've seen in recent times that were really determined to do what was best for the public rather than for himself. Maybe he's got that. I don't know if that's his motive or not, but it's not just money. It's not just power. He's got it. He's had it. He doesn't need it. So you wonder, what's this guy really up to?
I think when you have power and money, I don't think you get to a certain point where you can never get enough. And I think that is what, you know, and I don't believe, or I do believe, certainly there is a part of him that probably wants to do right by the American people. But is he truly sincere that that is his main reason? Or, you know, maybe it's future. Let me look at these presidents after they leave office. You know, he could, you know, his goal might to become the first trillionaire. Who knows? But I just haven't found that sincerity that makes me believe that, you know, he truly is 100% for the American people. And maybe we'll never find a person that's 100% for the American people.
I'm not sure that Trump even knows himself what he's doing. I mean, he's just, he has this thing he does, big, bold things, all right? It is his nature to do that. And from that perspective, there's a certain amount of ego behind this. And
absolutely.
That may be what's going on. But I get the feeling that Trump might actually be tempted, you know, to kind of clean up his act. I don't think he necessarily knows how to clean up his act, but maybe he's just saying, you know, let's see if we can do something right this time. Not just go out there and hustle more money. Let's do something right. And I don't have any reason to believe that other than a certain amount of just gut feeling. And it's, you know, I wouldn't bet it was true, but it might be. But the problem you have is you compare Trump to most of the rest of them. And the rest of these candidates are politicians with the exception of Carson. And the one thing, I don't trust any of them. And neither do most other Americans. We have a political system that routinely betrays public interest. We have a political system where virtually all of the politicians, certainly the ones that are in leadership positions, it's just standard business practice to betray the rank and file American people and do what's best for different special interests. And as a result, rank and file American people don't trust. We get it. We figure it out. We understand. We don't trust any of them. We have to vote for somebody. Somebody's going to be president. We can't just sit back and say, nobody go to the polls. In 2016, we just won't elect a president, that's all.
But
we're going to vote for somebody, so how about, and here comes Donald Trump, and he's not a politician. Carson, not a politician.
But you know what, Rush Limbaugh today, as I mentioned, said Republican leaders want Hillary in the White House. And this whole election is a little bit to the bizarre side. I mean, you have all these Republicans that some of them are even in negative numbers for polling. And it's like, well, what are they doing? 16 people to run for the president? What are they doing? What is the Republican Party doing? And truly, you almost have to believe, and I do believe to a large degree, it doesn't matter who gets elected. They're all puppets anyway.
Oh, it matters.
Washington is
matters.
Run by the multinational corporations. The elite will dictate what gets done and what doesn't get done. They are allowed some freedom to do their changes and so forth so they can be presidential and think that it's their idea. But I mean, and I mentioned to you prior to the program, just look at the process of Boehner resigning, McCarthy, Ryan with the budget deal. I mean, right there is, you could see how they were all puppets and how it was played out 1, 2, 3, like a script. It was all scripted.
Well, so, it's scripted, but here's a point. If they're all puppets, why did Boehner have to give? Why did he have to leave? Why didn't somebody control the rest of the puppets to stay off of Boehner's back? If they're all puppets, why is it that the Republicans or some Republican leaders are actually, according to Rush Limbaugh, in support of Hillary? I mean, if they're puppets, what difference does it make if we get Hillary, we get Trump,
right.
We get Carson? What difference?
What difference
then why is anyone making this effort? Why is this making this effort? Say we'd rather have Hillary than Donald Trump. It indicates, and in fact, Trump could make a difference. It indicates when we see Republicans that are allegedly in support of Hillary, perhaps secretly, but nevertheless, it indicates that there is one main force up there that covers both the Republican and Democrat parties. It's not a 100% coverage, but nevertheless, the two of them are bound together like two sides of the same coin, and they're both working for objectives that are contrary to that of the American people. But you even see, you know, I've heard people argue that the elections are fixed and whatever. Let's suppose that were true. Do you suppose Donald Trump doesn't know that? We talk about it and we wonder about it, but do you think Trump doesn't know it? Do you think the other politicians? They are prepared to break their backs. Hillary Clinton is prepared to run until she dies to become president of the United States. She is a, if the game was fixed and rigged, she could just sit back and say, I'll be down in the bar. Let me know when they have the election because I already know who's going to win. She's not.
She's
expending great energy and a lot of money, and the people that are expending the energy and the money, they're in a position to know for sure whether or not this game is rigged. I think they wouldn't make this sacrifice of energy and money unless they knew that it's not. There are
part of the illusion now.
Influence, but I'm not going to agree that they have control.
It's all part of the illusion. You're certainly not going to have her sitting down there, you know, in the bar, sipping a tea. You know, of course, it's all part of the game. It's all part of the parts that they have to play.
There's and part like, of it that's a game, but there's part of it that's real. It's not all game. That's what I'm trying to get. I know there's game up there, and I know there's great influence being exercised by people behind the scenes. They have great influence.
They have more influence
than I
think.
They don't have control. I don't believe they have control.
Oh, I do believe they do. I think they have control through the Federal Reserve. I think they have control through the economy. They have the ability, you're right, they have the ability to influence. They have the media behind them. And everything that so many of the general populace sees and hears is all controlled by, I mean, my gosh, they know everything about you. They send the information in order to, and to program you. People have been conditioned for so long, and it sounds crazy. You know, if you would have told me this 25, 30 years ago, I'd say, yeah, you're nuts.
You would have told me this 25 or 30 years ago, I'd say, what times does the disco open?
A little longer than that. That was a little longer than that, Al.
Further than that for disco.
A little longer than that.
All right. What time is the saloon open? I don't know.
But, I mean, you see these things, and you see how it plays out. And sometimes it's only a lot of it makes sense. And yeah, I mean, you look at Wall Street. You look at Washington. You look at the lobbies. You look at the multinational corporations. You look at all these trade deals. All this thing is it just doesn't benefit us. And it's all designed to destroy.
When you talk about multinational corporations, they fight among themselves. They don't work together as a unilateral body where they are all in agreement. I understand that they conspire together as long as it's like a gang, the mafia, the Bloods, the Crips. They conspire to take advantage of other people. But at the same time, they're not above shooting each other in the head. This... A lot of what appears.
Yeah, as long as if you don't go along with the program.
But yeah.
If you don't go along with the program, yeah, you will.
Yeah, or if you don't go along with my program, maybe I'm going to do the shooting. I mean, this is a situation. There are dangerous people in positions of power, and they didn't get there because the game is rigged and somebody said, okay, I appoint you to be president. John, you get to be vice president. Bob, you're going to
be... Well, I don't think it would
it's not like
that.
Exactly.
I don't
these
think
people
either.
Fight for these positions. Either. They fight for them. And I don't. And they fight brutally and viciously. Right? Which means, you know, this is another... It's almost like a... It is like a criminal enterprise. I mean, it's not just... A simple situation of, well, let's cut it up like this. You get 20%, Bob, you get 15%. Hey. Now, somebody's sitting there saying, no, I want 50%. I want 50%, and I'll shoot anybody who gets in my way. There's some, no, you got to just take 20%. There's influence. There's people that are working together. There's schemes. There's conspiracies. But there's also great competition, great conflict among all the players, in part because the whole thing is becoming unstable. I mean, it's like the deck chairs are shifting on the Titanic, and people are beginning to get excited. Right? They're beginning to say, oh, there's a problem. Right? Maybe the black swan, maybe a black crow, who knows? But something's going on here, and in the midst of that, all of us are prone to a little bit of extreme reaction. Yeah? And you look at this stuff, and it's, it gets you talking to yourself for sure. And it may get, and a lot of people find it.
I don't know what you mean, but, define, or whatever you just said. What'd you just say?
Oh. I forget. I don't pay attention to the program, Melody. I just talk on the program.
Did I get away out of that when we're going into a breakout.
Uh-huh. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll try to figure out whatever it was we were talking about, whether we're going to have a black crow or a black swan is going to sink the Titanic. It's a metaphor. You understand? It's more than an analogy. It's a metaphor.
Go to break, Al. We're late.
A sophisticated form of making comparisons. Illuminating. We will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I wanted to remind the listeners we got a small little package here. We have 1/10. It's a 1/10 of an ounce American Gold Eagle and $25 face value of 90% silver. And that total package is also in that $25 face value. Those are quarters. So you would actually receive 100 coins of the 90% silver, 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. And the total price on that would be $499. That's $499. That includes your shipping costs. So it really is a nice little package. And so give us a call, 800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And I just wanted to bring the listeners up to date on Silver Eagles. You know, I hear conflicting reports in the market from various suppliers and so forth. Some are saying there's a 3-week delay on Silver Eagles. Some are saying it's live. Prices vary. I've seen price differences of 20, 25 cents per ounce. So I find this interesting because I don't ever recall the over 20 years that I've been doing this to see discrepancies like that, you know, when it comes to silver. So I find that interesting. And why, you know, so there's something going on. Doesn't have to be anything major, but remember, discount gold and silver will always give you the lowest price possible and, of course, the quickest shipping. So if you're interested in the Silver Eagles, I'd say they are available now. Give us a call, and that could change because I'm looking for the mint to slow down their Silver Eagles as we go into November because of the changeover of dates, as they do every year. And they cannot release the 2016 dates until 2016. They can't release them early. So it might be just a matter of eliminating supply at the mint. Maybe they've over-minted after the situation that we had in July, August, and September. Now maybe they have an overage, and maybe they're trying to draw down their inventory. But so we got some great prices on those. I also received, had an interesting thing go on. Yesterday I got a call from someone looking for foreign silver. It's like, foreign silver? You know, what do you want foreign silver for? And then today I get a call from they're actually a fairly large online seller calling me to see if I wanted to buy wholesale from them foreign silver. I thought, well, isn't that a coincidence? But they were also offering silver rounds and other product extremely low compared to the national wholesale prices. So, again, it's interesting to see pressure coming from an online dealer. Obviously, if they can't sell enough product online, that they're reaching out to other dealers to see if we can buy their product from them. So I found that a little interesting. So there's a lot of things going on in the gold and silver dealer market. Plus, we had wanted to talk about the Minnesota dealer that closed its deal. It was a popular shortwave dealer, and I guess it's okay to say the name Midas yeah. Resources, and they said they're claiming they closed down due to the change of law coming out of Minnesota. We don't do business in Minnesota because of this law. I choose not to because I think what they want to do is none of their business. I don't think I need to release the information of my employees to the state of Minnesota. It's none of their business. We don't sell stocks. We don't sell bonds. We're not required to be licensed in my state or in any other state. So why do I need to feel to be licensed by Minnesota? It's none of their business. We are a retailer. All gold and silver dealers are classified as retailers. So if you want to make me licensed, well, then go have Macy's get licensed and let them supply Minnesota all their employees. But they do have some interesting requirements, and I think if the shoe fits, maybe this is the problem. But you are... have to really go into detail in your invoices. You have to list all kinds of names and numbers of affiliations that you're with, the Department of Commerce for Minnesota, registration numbers issued to you by the Department of Commerce, and again, this is Minnesota, all kinds of things about the coin and the product, which is just pretty common. You know, it's also on our invoices. You have to list the date that you will deliver the bullion coin you have sold to the customer or the date that you will pay them for the bullion coin that you have purchased from them. That's fairly common unless you have a problem. If you were a dealer that doesn't comply to that, well, then you would have a problem complying to the Minnesota regulations, whether you're an outside firm or an inside firm. The manner in which you store or otherwise handle bullion coin received from a consumer, to me, that's no one's business for security reasons. I would never tell any of my clients how I store my product in the manner in which I do when I buy their product. I mean, that's so there's a lot of reasons I wouldn't comply, but the reasons they came up with all this is because there were so many bad dealers in Minnesota, and they had so many complaints, and they felt that they could now regulate. And
do you mean that they were under-regulating prior, and therefore they had bad dealers, and they are now overreacting by putting in more draconian laws? Or do you mean that they just, Minnesota happened to have a bunch of bad dealers?
I think Minnesota had a bunch of bad dealers. And I don't think they were under-regulated. I mean, I have to have a business license for my corporation and so forth to do business in a state in which I do. I comply by all laws, but we're listed as retailers. I don't need to be licensed. I don't need a security license to sell gold. But because I don't have a security license, there are things that you can't tell your clients. You can't promise, gains like Wall Street does. There are certain things that you can't say. You can give your opinion, and you can give what history has, in a particular market and so forth. But there's a lot of things I can't tell my clients because I'm not registered like a Series 7 broker or whatever numbers they are. So I think it was just a bunch of bad dealers that made Minnesota believe that they can regulate gold and silver dealers. And I know also a lot of these states have reacted to these when gold was selling for, $1,600, $1,700 and, the world wanted gold you had these people that, were making rounds from state to state. They'd set up, in some hotel and said, we'll buy your gold and silver. And they were buying all types of gold and silver on, pennies on the dollar. And they were, and I think that had a lot to do with the the bad taste of gold and silver buying and selling in some states, and obviously Minnesota. So I don't agree with the laws, but I choose not to do business there. And it's sad that, and I think people in Minnesota should be calling up them and complaining. Because now they've ended the competition. And so the people in Minnesota will probably have to end up paying a lot more for their product.
Well, there's another side to this. I'm not sure how the sales tax arrangement works, but it means, among other, it implies that Minnesota is going to have less coin dealers in the future than they've had in the past. You mentioned Midas is leaving. They're going out of business, apparently. At least suspending their business or whatever. It means that Minnesota buyers are going to have to, if they want to buy gold and silver, they're going to have to buy it from sources outside of the state.
Well, there's plenty of dealers inside the state that continue to sell gold.
Inside or outside?
Well, there's still inside that I know of.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be. It's not like they're all going to disappear, but I'm just saying, insofar as the people in Minnesota have less domestic Minnesota dealers, they're going to buy more from people located outside of Minnesota, and Minnesota's not going to get the sales tax or whatever, if there is any sales tax. I don't know if there is it in Minnesota.
I don't know if there is it for Minnesota, but I mean, investment rarities is in Minnesota, and their doors are still open, but they're very high priced. So, no, there's a lot of dealers still in the state, within the state, that can comply to their rules and regulations. I gave mine. Well, I don't want to comply. It's none of their business. So,
I've got an article here from WLS, which is a radio station, or at least it was. I assume that's still a radio station in Chicago. And the headline is Chicago City Council to vote on property tax hike. Chicago City Council is expected to take up a proposed budget that includes a massive property tax hike, and other fees to help close a shortfall and address its underfunded government pension system. Incidentally, this is allegedly the largest single tax hike in Chicago history. Well, it's another one of these signs. It's something like it. It's reminiscent, in a sense, of Detroit. Detroit made all these promises to its employees. We're going to have these fat pensions, and you're going to be retired after just relatively few years. You'll get way more than the chump taxpayers who are only going to get Social Security. And then Detroit collapsed. We see Chicago is, to some extent, similar to Detroit, in that it also has a significantly underfunded pension system for former government employees. And we are, while Detroit is already in ruins, at least parts of it, Chicago is not yet in ruins, but you're going to have to wonder what's going to happen here. They are essentially saying, we got to get those chump taxpayers to cough up more money to keep the government employees in the style to which they've become accustomed. And I'm wondering how much of an effort they're making in Chicago to talk to the former employees and say, look, you guys got to agree to take a cut in your pensions. I don't think it's reasonable for myself that the taxpayers, the guys that don't work for government, should have their taxes raised to support pensions for government employees who didn't pay in enough while they were there. Why aren't the government employees responsible for their own pensions? Why does that responsibility fall on the back of the taxpayers? It shouldn't. They should set it up to say, look, how much you want? How much do you want when you retire? You want $100,000 a year? Fine. You're going to have to contribute $200,000 every year while you're working in order to get $100,000 a year when you retire. You contribute to your retirement, and then it's there, and we'll see that it's there when you actually retire. But the idea that we get some third party to pay for government employee pensions strikes me as unreasonable, and I'm going to be interested to see what happens in Chicago. They haven't taken the vote yet, so far as I know. This is a new report. They're going to vote on property tax hike. I want to see what will the politicians do and what will the people of Chicago do. Are they going to sit still for the largest increase in property taxes in city history? Or are they going to essentially riot, demonstrate, and lean on the government and say, the heck with that. We're not paying for their pensions. Let them pay for their own pensions. Why should we have to pay for them? Because a bunch of idiot politicians made promises that can't be kept? So, it's another one of those leaves in the breeze that we see relative to pensions. We talk about pension plans every so often on the program. We had one, a corporation that got caught crosswise. Oh, it was the truck drivers. I think just a week ago, one of the pension plans. They're going to see their pensions cut by 40%, 60%, I don't recall, but in that vicinity. All right, somewhere between 40 and 60%, that for at least the truck drivers. They've got a problem. Detroit can't make good on its pension plan. Chicago can't really make good. We'll watch and see if the taxpayers are dumb enough to go along with this. I don't think they will be, but we'll watch and see. But they're facing this. You know what it all points to? We are living in a world where if you want to prepare for your retirement, you better start thinking about doing it on your own, because I don't think you can trust any of these pension plans. Certainly not. I mean, Social Security, government's looted the Social Security accounts, and the pension plans are having problems that probably and are going to be only exaggerated and increased by the fact that the prime interest rate's 0.25%. How can these pension plans make any money on their investment when the pension plan, or at least if they have bonds, when the interest rate's only 0.25%. Pension plans are a problem. They're going to be more of a problem. We're going to see more trouble coming from this in the future, and we'll talk about it as it happens. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.